Tamditam samsujivam sadvaitam savadutam prajana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakan Vitamscha Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayat Daya Kripav Daye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Nama Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namane Gaura Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Vanchakopa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Titanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Jaya Jaya Harinam Chiranandam Ritadham Paratatakshara-khar Nija Jani Kripakari Namarupa Avatari Jivadoya Karila Pai Chai Gosai Kori Charanandandan Yamarite Vignanash Avishta Puran Shri Rupchi Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai Shri Bhajan Rahasyam Ki Jai. We're closing our discussion on the sixth treasure of the holy name, which is contained in this phrase from Chaitodarpana Marjanam. Pratipadam Purnamri Jaswadanam. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling that this, in this particular phrase of Shikshastakam, this indicates Vipralamba Prem, that pure love of Godhead in a mood of separation. Because even this is the nature of the difference between material separation and spiritual separation. In material separation, when someone is separated from their object of love, then they feel great distress and bereavement and unhappiness. But the speciality of spiritual separation is that even in separation from the beloved, one experiences tremendous ecstasies. And sometimes it can even be said, or it is said, that the ecstasies in separation are greater than meeting. One acharya said that when Srimati Radharani is with Krishna, she sees one Krishna before her and experiences the association of one Krishna. But when she's separated from Krishna, she sees Krishna everywhere. She sees thousands of Krishnas. And the Rasa Lila performances in Vrindavan, they often depict this particular Lila, where Radharani is separated from Krishna. And she starts looking, and she says, "Oh, Krishna, are you here?" And then Krishna appears. And then she turns this way, and she runs, and then Krishna appears. So when Radharani is with Krishna, she sees one Krishna. But when she's separated from Krishna, she sees Krishna everywhere. And seeing Krishna everywhere means that one will be experiencing the ecstasy of feeling Krishna. That's why the term is often used, union and separation, separation and union.
This is one of the features
of the love of Srimati Radharani, of Mahabhav. Sometimes she's sitting right on Krishna's lap. She's sitting right here with his arm around him. And only by a phrase, a few words pass over her ears. Oh, Madhusudan has gone. And Madhusudan means one who drinks the sudha. Sudha means nectar. One who drinks the honey nectar of Radharani's lips is Madhusudan, like Radharas sudha. Sudha. Sudha means nectar. And so Madhu means honey. So she thinks, oh, that honey collector is gone. That sweet lord that drinks the honey of my lips, he is gone. Oh, and then she becomes so unhappy, she's crying out, oh, hey Krishna, hey Madhusudan. And it's just a bumblebee, because bumblebee is called Madhukar, one who works for honey, and Madhusudan is also one who drinks honey, the nectar of honey is a bumblebee. So she's with Krishna, and it's called Premvaichitya. So she's feeling separation even when she's in union. Union means sambhog, and joining together with Krishna, but she feels separation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his analysis of Chaitodarpana Marjanam, he's telling us that the first verse represents Viparlamba Prem, that step after step, Pratipadam Purnamrita Swaranam, even in separation from Krishna, every step that one takes, even in the absence of Krishna, one feels transcendental happiness. The gopis, when they were moving around the banks of the Yamuna looking for Krishna, they were separated from him. But they were so much in ecstasy. They were feeling tremendous ecstasy in their separation. In support of this, there are two verses from Bhajan Rahasyam that Bhaktivinoda Thakur includes in his discussion of this concept. Purna Amrita Swaranam. And he introduces this verse. This is text 23 of the first Yama. He says, non-sankirtan enables one to taste complete nectar at every step. Therefore, Padma Purana says, Tebhyo namos tu bhavavairi jiana panka sabmagna mokshana vichakshana padukebhya krishneti varna yugalam shavanena yesham anandaturvavatinartitavarama brinda. The devotees whose bodily hairs stand on end and whose hearts tremble with bliss upon hearing the two syllables Krish and Shna, Kri and Shna, Kri and Shna, deliver the living entities engrossed in material existence. Clear-sighted, intelligent persons who desire eternal auspiciousness surrender to the lotus feet of these Rasika Bhaktas. And then the verse, there's a verse he gives in Bengali, which is translated here in the purport. Krishna nama shuni roma brinda nritya kare ananda kampana hoya janhara sharire bhavasindu pankamagna jivira udhar vichakshana tinho nami charane tanha udhar jivira magna jivira udhar. Udhar means to udhar means welfare or to deliver. So this Bengali verse is translated thus. I offer my repeated obeisances unto the lotus feet of those personalities whose bodily hair stands on end, whose hearts tremble with bliss, and from whose eyes tears flow upon hearing the name of Krishna. Such devotees who are most fortunate and magnanimous are expert in delivering the jivas sunk in the horrible mud of material existence. So, we have all met such personalities that have, it says, Bhava Sindhu Panka Magna Jivera Udhar. The jiva, the panka means mud. Bhava Sindhu means the ocean of material existence. So the ocean has a bottom. And in this case, the bottom is full of mud. And the jivas are stuck there. And those that are experiencing nectar at every step, the saintly devotees, they come and they free those devotees, jivas, that are sunk in the horrible ocean of material existence. So this is a verse that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving to explain Pratipadam, Purnamrita Swaranam. There's another verse also in text 25. This is from Namashtakam, and he introduces this verse. This verse describes the sweet form of Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda says, the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself and the sweet embodiment of transcendental mellows, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. We have to remember that not only is Bhaktivinoda Thakur explaining each pad or each part of the Shikshastakam, and by giving reference verses to help us understand that particular phrase or concept in the Shikshastakam. But at the same time, his underlying motive is to weave a tapestry or covering or whatever, is to build our faith. This is an underlying theme of this first verse. So all these verses that he's citing as reference from different shastras, they are to illuminate one aspect of the first verse, Chaitadharvana Marjanam. At the same time, they are to strengthen our faith in the process of non-sankirtan. So there's a dual function to all these verses. So we can, by reading these verses, meditating on the meaning of these verses, and chanting the holy name, and praying for these verses to reveal, to help us cultivate our faith and deepen our faith, then we will be fulfilling the wish and ambition of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this verse is from Namashtakam. Narada vinojivana sudormi nyasa maduri pura tam krishna namakamam Spurame rasane rasanena sada. Spurame rasane rasanena sada. I don't know the melody, but it's told. O life of Narada's Veena, O crest of the waves upon the transcendental ocean of nectar, O condensed form of all sweetness, O Krishna Nam, by your own sweet will, may you always appear in my tongue along with all transcendental rasa. So a verse like this from Namastakam, of course it's a glorification of Nam, but it's meant to be incorporated into our chanting of the holy name. Because Bhajan Rahasyam, it's non-Bhajan Rahasyam. Because our Bhajan begins with and continues with, it begins with, it continues with, and it ends with Nam, and it keeps on continuing in the spiritual world with Nam. So Nam Sankirtan is an eternal feature of the jiva. The jiva is always vibrating something. And vibration is the constant factor of the whole universe. Everything, every atom, every particle of creation is moving, it's in vibration. So in the spiritual world, everyone's vibrating the holy name of Krishna. There's that story, it's illustrating a different point, but somehow it comes to mind, and that's the way these things work in this class, especially after last night. Our mind is rather displayed, having collected a few winks, literally a few winks in the last 24 hours. So it was a very beautiful story that describes something about how everyone, every devotee of the Lord and the Lord himself are vibrating the holy name of the Lord when waking and when resting. Once Narada Muni went to Dwarka. Can you hear all right? Is this okay? Everything's fine. Narada Muni went to Dwarka to visit Lord Krishna. And when he went there, Krishna was in his bedroom. Dwarkadish was in his bedroom with Arjuna. And Arjuna and Krishna were sleeping on the bed together. We hear that in Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna saw the universal form, he said, "Oh, forgive me, we shacked up together a few times. We shared a bed together and I ate off the same plate and you were so much friends to me." So Narada Muni came there and he saw an amazing sight. He saw on the royal bed of Lord Dwarkadish, Krishna was lying there sleeping with his head on one side of the bed, and on the other side of the bed sleeping was Arjuna. So the two were sharing the same bed. And Krishna was holding on his chest. Krishna was holding the two feet of Arjuna on his chest with his two arms. He was caressing the feet of Arjuna. And on the opposite end of the bed, Arjuna was lying like this, and he was caressing the feet of Krishna to his chest. So this is a beautiful sight to behold. Now, at the head of Krishna, standing next to his head, there was Rukmini with Chamara. She was fanning her Lord Krishna while he was sleeping. And at the head of Arjuna, which is the opposite end of the bed, there was Queen Draupadi, and she was fanning the head of her beloved husband, Arjuna. So this is also a very beautiful scene to behold. The chaste wife faithfully serving and pleasing her husband, their husbands, and the beautiful friendship. So there's many rasas going on here, but it's all based on love and seva. And the beautiful friendship shared between Krishna and Arjuna, which means between Bhakta and Bhagavan. It's called the Bhagavan Bhakta Prem Sambandha. So that's very beautiful. But now something even more special, which is applicable to the point on the table or whatever. Krishna is holding the feet of Arjuna. And Narada Muni is looking at this scene. He's seeing these two wives fanning, and he's seeing these Lord and Arjuna. And coming out from every pore, from the feet, from every pore of Krishna's body, Krishna's sleeping, but coming out of every pore of Krishna's body, there's a sound coming, Arjuna, 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 Arjuna. Krishna's entire body is chanting the name of his beloved devotee, Arjuna, Arjuna. So Narada Muni was most amazed. Oh, Krishna is chanting the glories of his devotee. Krishna has absorbed the Nam Sankirtan of his devotee. And then on the other side of the bed, Arjuna, and they're both totally asleep. They were not conscious. They were totally asleep. Or let's see, Swapna Vilas or something. Arjuna was sleeping, and out of every pore of his body, Krishna, 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 Krishna. From the arms, Krishna, Krishna. The mouth, everywhere. So Arjuna was seeing, Narada Muni was beholding this amazing scene. So this is, this goes on, and what we're saying, that everything, every particle of creation, from the atom to the proton, up to, which is very small material particles, but if you go smaller than that into the spiritual domain, the anti-material particles, as Prabhupada would sometimes use this phrase in these books, Life Comes from Life, the anti-material particle, the spiritual particle, the Atma, they're also in vibration. But all the material particles and all the jivas that are absorbed and enveloped in those material particles, they're only chanting one mantra, Maya, Maya, Maya. And not Maya, not Yashoda Maya, Maya, that which is not. But in the spiritual world, every Atma, every liberated soul is chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And Bhagavan is reciprocating by chanting. And in Krishna and Arjuna's case, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is chanting Arjuna, Arjuna, Arjuna. That's in Sakiras. But when the bhaktas in Madhuryaras, and the bhaktas reciprocating with Bhagavan in Madhuryaras, the bhaktas chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And what is Bhagavan chanting? Bhagavan's chanting Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. And this is in Gaur Lila. In Gaur Lila we find, before Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was chanting Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. There's a letter written in 1968 by our beloved Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he says, Srila Prabhupada, can we chant the names of the Sakis in Kirtan? 1968. You can check your little computers there and find out whether we're called. The devotees had some good ideas those days. Srila Prabhupada, can we chant the names of the Jaya Lalita Saki Jaya, Vishaka Saki Jaya, Chitra Saki Jaya, and do like, let's get down and ask the Saki Kirtan, right? Jaya Ranga Devi Hari Bol Sudevi. And Prabhupada said, his answer was, you can do, but it's not the tradition. Prabhupada did not give an absolute rejection of such a question, proposal. No, this is, he said, no, you can do, but it's not the general standard. So this is the nature of this Chaitanya Rasa Vigraham. So in this verse, we are, Bhaktivinoda is inducing us, giving us this beautiful gem from Namastakam for us to meditate on, for us to pray to, for us to realize. And he's saying this is what the name is. The name is the life of Narada's Veena. Narada Muni Bhajana Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, I believe. I don't know exactly the whole story. You may know better. But Lord Vishnu, rather Lord Narayan, was very pleased with the seva and seva bhava of Narada Muni. Because Narada Muni, he would go anywhere and preach the glories of Narayan. He was a fearless preacher, as Srila Prabhupada used to refer to Narada Muni as a transcendental spaceman. We have this phrase, transcendental spaceman. Not a spaced out new bhakta, but a transcendental spaceman. In other words, he was traveling, Bhur Bhuvak Swa. He was traveling from Patala, Rasatala, Tala, Tala, Tata, Patala, and he was going to heavenly planets, and he was going to earth planet, Mrigari. He was going to Indra, everywhere he was going. He would go around the universe preaching the glories of Narayan, Narayan Katha. So Narayan was very pleased with him, so he wanted to give him a gift. So he was thinking what to give him. So he gave him a veena. And the veena was actually his Lakshmi's veena. It's like Radharani plays veena. So this veena, of course, being Lakshmi's veena, it's only going to be engaged in Narayan's service. So the veena was automatically, it's like they have these Casio or Yamaha electric pianos, or you turn the key and it plays, you know, automatically makes music or something, little battery powered. So the veena was like that. It was Lakshmi's veena, but Lakshmi and everything in her hand are in her heart or mind is simply for the pleasure and satisfaction and service of Narayan. So this Veena was gifted to Narada Muni by Lord Narayan, and it was automatic kirtan machine. it would just play itself, and it would just vibrate the holy name of the Lord. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura is saying, Narada Veena Jivana. Oh, life. In other words, what is the life? What is the jivan of Narada's Veena? It's not the strings. It's not the raga or tal or melody. But it's the fact that the holy name is coming out of that Veena. That is life. In fact, that is life. Oh, life of Narada's Veena. Oh, crest of the waves upon the transcendental ocean of nectar. So he's saying that there's an ocean of nectar. But some oceans are known as being very placid and peaceful, like the Pacific Ocean is it's not so much big waves. But some oceans have big waves. So first you have an ocean, and out this ocean is the ocean of nectar. And on this ocean there are waves. And then what is he saying? Oh, crest of the waves upon the transcendental ocean of nectar. So first you come to an ocean of nectar, and then there's waves there, and the crest means the top part of the wave. So what is the ocean, when it's disturbed by wind or agitated by wind or a storm, then it makes big waves, and the top of the big wave is the crest. So he's saying, oh, crest of the waves. In other words, in the ocean of nectar, if there's no waves, it's still full of nectar. But if there's some waves, then the nectar is stirred up and even more relishable. But then the top of the wave is the most powerful part of the wave. This is when anyone goes surfing. They catch the wave from the top. The wave comes like this, and they're on the top of the wave. That's called the crest, and then they drop, what is called dropping in on the wave. So that's where the holy name is compared, the crest of the wave on the ocean of nectar. It's very nice. You could just say, the holy name is a wave on ocean of nectar. You could say like that. The holy name is a wave. Or the holy name rests on the ocean of nectar. Or the holy wave is an ocean of nectar. But it may be a Pacific Ocean, which is rather peaceful, no waves. But the crest, so he's, beautiful glorification. Oh, crest of the wave. Oh, crest of the waves upon the transcendental ocean of nectar. Oh, condensed form of all sweetness. You take sweetness and then you compress it and condense it and make it sweeter and sweeter. Oh, Krishnanam, by your own sweet will, may always appear on my tongue along with all transcendental rasa. So this is a prayer to Nam. Because praying to Nam means praying to Krishna, as we say, Prabhu, Nam Prabhu. So this prayer is coming from the heart and the memory of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's very helpful for bhajan. And there's so many verses in glorification of the holy name from so many different Puranas and Shastras. But throughout this book, there are selected verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has realized as essential for bhajan. So at first reading, it's kind of like a puzzle. You take a puzzle out of, and it's all broken into the pieces, and you dump it on the floor, and you say, oh, what does this all mean? What does this piece mean and that piece mean? And then you start trying to piece the puzzles together in relationship to the master, the form. And pretty soon you have, oh, this is America, and this is Florida, and this is Georgia. And it's a puzzle pieces of the 50 different states. So these verses and shlokas of Bhajan Rahasyam may appear rather puzzling, right? They may appear a little confusing. But like anything in anything transcendental, we have to work at it. And the work is performed in the laboratory of the heart with the sincerity of the mind and the actions of the body. So we study these verses, and with faith in our Guru Parampara and faith in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then we'll see how they reveal some aspects of this quality of faith and strengthen our faith in holy name, and also how they explain this term Pratipadam Purnam Vidaswaranam, which is the sixth treasure of the holy name, which indicates Svipralamba Prem. The seventh treasure of the holy name, there are seven treasures that are hidden in the holy name, and Lord Chaitanya is enunciating them and revealing them in Chaitadarpana Marjanam so that we can see, oh, so many things are here, so much is in the holy name, and I took it for granted. I thought all the holy name did was make you happy. You chant and become happy. Well, I thought that the holy name was only something they call sublime. But it has these seven treasures, that there's Viparamba Prem in the holy name, there's Sambhog Prem, there's Sakti, there's all these qualities of devotion and levels of devotion. So this is Sarvatma Snapanam. Sarva Atma Snapanam. So the holy name is, it completely bathes the body, bathes and cleanses the body, the mind and the Atma. Because at this level, this represents the level of Sambhog Prem. So when Krishna is with Radharani, of course that is the goal of Krishna consciousness, is to see Radha and Krishna together, not to be separated. Separation only acts to nourish their union. So the acharyas are saying that this term, Sarvatma Snapanam, represents the bliss of Prem, that Premananda is completely pure. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains it like this. Sri Krishna Sankirtan makes the jiva completely pure. Because snapana means snot, means to take a bath. When we take a bath, then we become, our body, physical body, becomes cleansed of the impurities and the dirt. So sarva means everything, all. Means everything, means all, means completely. And atma, as Srila Prabhupada often told us, atma means body, means mind, it means self. So many things it can mean. So Bhaktivinoda says that Sri Krishna Sankirtan makes the jiva completely pure, devoid of any selfish motives for personal enjoyment. It's interesting that Bhaktivinoda Thakura, his definition of pure is to be selfless, to be free from selfish motives for personal enjoyment. This is his idea. When one is completely pure, that means he's free from any selfish motives for material enjoyment. At this stage of Sarvatma Snapanam, one will realize his original spiritual form. The jiva becomes a maidservant of Srimati Radharani, if the jiva is in that staiba. But he explains like this. The jiva becomes a maidservant of Srimati Radharani, who is the embodiment of Ladini Shakti, which is the bliss potency. And she, Radharani, is forever absorbed in the ecstasy of Mahabhav. As Radha's kinkari, a maidservant, Manjari, the jiva tastes unlimited spiritual bliss in connection with the prem vilas of Radha Govinda. In other words, at this stage of prem, the devotee has realized his spiritual form and he's engaged in assisting and serving the pleasure pastimes, the love-filled pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying that the conditioned soul, absorbed in bodily designations, becomes covered with the dirt of the gross and subtle body. By the power of the holy name, the body, mind, and soul are all cleansed. Sarvatma Snapanam also means that the chanting of the holy name alone does everything. That's an interesting point. In other words, some devotees have a question, what should I do? Should I read? Should I pray? Should I do puja? Should I get deities? But if one, of course, deity worship is enjoined, or the guru engages the disciple in deity worship, especially to purify their mind and senses by engaging them in regulated activities of puja, which require the person to be pure, at least externally. It's very helpful. But he's saying that Sarvatma Snapanam also means that the holy name alone does everything, sarva, and gives one the fullest result of bhakti. No other name of bhakti is necessary. In the Bhakti Sandarva, Jiva Goswami says in verse 273, which we've referred to a few times, although in Kali Yuga it is necessary to perform the eight limbs of bhakti, but they must be performed along with kirtan to produce effect and deliver bhakti. In other words, we may, which so many people do in India, there are so many people engaged in archan, which is a limb of bhakti, navada bhakti. But they're not chanting Hare Krishna, they may be chanting a bija mantra, and they're doing the puja. And that will depends on their mentality, but generally that will be a practice of sukriti. They will accumulate sufficient sukriti so that they will at some point in this life or next life get sadhu sangha, and then that sadhu will say, actually, to attain bhakti, to actually attain bhakti and to attract Bhakti Devi, in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, God Himself, has said, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way but Hare Kirtan. You do, I mean, it's not by Archan. Even you take the lens of bhakti, generally we take this verse, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalova, Nasteva, 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 Gatya Anyata. Gatya Anyata. One cannot attain the goal of life, Krishna Prem, by any other means, not by yoga, not by karam, not by gyan, only by Harinam. But Jiva Goswami is telling that, he's agreeing with that, so someone could extend that further and say, not by Archan, not by puja, not by vandanam, all these things, unless Harinam is there. So Jiva Goswami makes it a point in the Bhakti Sandarbha, which is teaching us how to practice Bhakti Yoga in such a way that we will get the result. We don't want to just attain pious results or punyafal or accumulate sukriti. We want bhakti. We actually want pure devotion to Krishna. So in this age, because Archan has been going on since thousands, thousands, millions of years, Dwapara Paricharya Yam. And Dwapara Yuga, which began a couple million years ago, people would do Archan, which is a limb of bhakti. But they weren't chanting Mahamantra or doing kirtan with it. So Jiva Goswami, for the Kali Yuga, he's saying, although in Kali Yuga it is necessary to perform Archan and the other eight limbs of bhakti, they must be performed along with kirtan to produce the effect and deliver bhakti. Sarvatma Snapanam means that all different phases of the self which may be conceived, are fully satisfied and purified at once by chanting the holy name of Krishna. The word snapanam means purifying, like to the sake of bath. The transcendental vibration of Krishna Nam purifies everyone and everything. That's another meaning of sarva atma. Sarva atma snapanam. Everything, every object. We hear the story of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. For some time, he was doing bhajan in the Rani Jansi Dharmashala, or some Dharmashala in Navadweep, and the bathroom, the story goes like this, and the latrine of that bathroom, and the district magistrate came there and said, Babaji, you're a famous siddha, or at least a famous devotee, can we make some arrangement for you to do bhajan in a more, let's say, appropriate place? And he said, actually, Gaurakishore said, I can bear, I'm staying here alone in this latrine. He said, I can bear the stench. I can bear the stench and the smell of this latrine. But I can't bear the stink of materialistic people. I'd rather stay in the latrine than have a kutir somewhere nearby the other people. Because no one comes over here. So that's one point of that story. But the point we wanted to make is that sometime later, some disciples, the story is like this, some disciples went there to see the place of his bhajan, that latrine, the bhajan stali, so to speak. And when they went there, they entered that latrine, and they sat there, and they could hear the Mahamantra coming, being vibrated. So, as this Acharya is saying, sarvatma snapanam means that when the vibration, when the Shuddha Nam, when Krishna's pure name is recited or chanted, it purifies everyone and everything. Even insentient entities, they become conscious. Vibhu Chaitanya. Chaitanya means life. He who gives life, a living force. So somehow or other, the atoms of the bricks were becoming alive with the holy name of the Lord. So that's why this Acharya is saying that snapanam means that the transcendental vibration of Krishna Nam purifies everyone and everything which comes in touch with it. So these bricks, these mundane, ordinary material bricks, which were used to build the latrine which Gaurakishore Das Babaji was doing bhajan in, by the contact of Shuddha Nam, these bricks became turned into Chintamani stones. Because in the spiritual world, every step is a dance. Every word is, the speech is like nectar, and every step is a dance. And the ground is made of Chintamani. Chintamani means that it's fully conscious. The ground is conscious. So conscious means that every particle of earth in the spiritual world is conscious of Krishna, and the world they're conscious of Krishna is in vibration. Every particle of dirt is chanting Nam Sankirtan. That's why the acharyas say that the holy dham is like a bank. The holy dham is like a bank, and in a bank usually deposit money. You put money in the bank. But the Mayapur Dham, Vrindavan Dham, what is deposited here, besides Leela is deposited here, but the holy name of Krishna is being deposited here. That's why in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati makes the wonderful correlation between three principles. Gram, Dham, and Nam. Right? Gram, Dham, and Nam. He's telling there that if one comes to the holy Dham, Dham means the abode of the Lord, and he renders some service there, he sweeps the land, he sweeps the footpaths doing Jaro Seva, or he washes the steps of the bathing ghat, or he serves the Dham Vasis, then by doing that service to the Dham, Dham Seva, then he will develop Vairagya, or detachment from Gram. Gram means his place of birth, the village of his birth, and his various exploits of childhood and youth. And Gram also includes wife, children, parents, relatives, material engagements. And when one becomes detached from his body and relatives, society and friends, and his birthplace, by doing this service to the holy Dham, then the Dham will, first of all, give that detachment. That's the first installment of mercy. But the second installment of mercy by serving the Dham is that one will develop attachment for Nam. Detachment from Gram and attachment to Nam. So there is a correlation between these three principles of Gram, Dham, and Nam. So the Dham is where the holy name is deposited. It's in the soil. It's in the very ground. It's in the trees. There are Hindi songs where they say, Dora Dora Patra Radhanam Bolo, something like that. They're saying, there are many songs in Bengali and Hindi written by the great Mahajans. They're saying, every leaf of every tree in Vrindavan is chanting Radha, 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 Radha. So the leaves are chanting Radha, the ground is chanting Radha. So when one, that's why Prabhupada would tell us, because we would say, Prabhupada, we're going out every day in Los Angeles doing Harinam. In front of this department store. And after a few weeks, the owner of the store, he was complaining to us. He was saying, ever since the Hare Krishnas came in front of my store on the sidewalk and started doing Harinam Sankirtan, my business is going down. Fewer people are coming into my store, and fewer purchases are being made. And so, the devotees mentioned this to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, wherever this Harinam goes on, then the material energy must stop. It puts an end to the material energy. Because what happens? The Harinam transforms the sidewalk, the molecules in the sidewalk and the walls. They start picking up the holy name. And they start vibrating, Krishna, 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 serve Krishna. Give up Maya, give up Maya. So the people are walking on a sidewalk and those atoms of Seva atoms are coming in their feet and they're thinking, yes, I shouldn't go in this store. I shouldn't buy all these things. It's all Maya. I should serve Krishna. So so this is Sarvatma Snapanam. That Sarva, everything and everyone becomes purified and cleansed of the material conception of life or the enjoying spirit by contacting Nam Sankirtan. So this is this is the seventh treasure of the holy name, Sarvatma Snapanam. The transcendental vibration of Krishna Nam purifies everyone and everything. Thing means insentient, the ground, the land, everything that comes in touch with it. This phrase, Sarvatma Snapanam, points to the congregational chanting of Mass Sankirtan. Because we see that When we do congregational sankirtan, as I was mentioning, then the whole atmosphere becomes purified, and people unconsciously become connected with Krishna by continual exposure to the holy name. And to such an extent, they don't even realize it, that there's a takeover. Their consciousness is being taken over by the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. Every day the Hare Krishnas come out, and the people go like this and go away, and they taunt us and they jeer us. Then that week after week after week, that vibration starts to enter into their mind and hearts and dance there and starts transforming them. And after a few months, you hear so many stories about great devotees in ISKCON. They say, yes, when the devotees used to come in Harinam Sankirtan in Berkeley, I was a student there. I won't mention the name. This great devotee, guru, acharya, etc. But I used to pick up stones and throw stones at the Sankirtan party and say, get out! Go back to Mars, you Martians! Are you from Mars? Get out of here! So somehow or other, by contacting the holy name, Sarvatma Snapanam, there was a total takeover. The holy name entered, reluctantly and involuntarily, the holy name entered into this person's heart and turned him from Jagai and Madai into, he became one of the great leaders of ISKCON. So this is the wonderful Sarvatma Snapanam. So the Acharya is telling here that Sarvatma Snapanam, it points to or indicates this congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Not only does it clean everything about us, generally we take this phrase and point it towards us. Sarva Atma Snapanam, it cleanses me. It will cleanse everything about me. It will cleanse my mind. It will cleanse my heart. It will cleanse my conceptions. It will cleanse my aspirations. It will cleanse my desires. Everything will become rectified, transformed, purified, and beautified by contacting the sweet holy names of Radha and Krishna. We think like that. But the Acharyas are saying, oh, it has an inward effect and an outward effect. It has an individual effect and a collective effect. It has an effect on living entities, and it has an effect even on matter. Because the entire material creation is only based on sound vibration. It is sound vibration that has brought the entire material creation into existence. Shabda has created everything. And it is by sound vibration that we can transform the entire material existence into spiritual existence. It's just like turning the light on at night. It's dark in the room, you flip the switch, it becomes light. So as soon as everyone, this mass sankirtan movement is spread here and there, and everyone takes it up, then Sarvatma Snapanam, everyone and everything will become purified, and what was once material and in opposition to Krishna will become spiritualized and favorable for the pleasure and happiness of Krishna. And therefore, the entire material world, with the flip of a switch, can turn into the spiritual world. Just as we, as one individual entity of the world, were totally absorbed in Maya, and with the flip of the switch, we became Krishnaized, spiritualized by the contact with Sarvatma Snapanam, the wonderful purifying effect of the holy name. So there's more discussion. When the whole self is bathed, because Sarvatma means the whole self, everything, the whole being, physical, metaphysical, psychic, spiritual, when the whole self is bathed, one experiences the smell, form, taste, touch, and sound of God through completely purified senses, mind, and intelligence. So this phrase is referring to prem, but not viparamba prem, but it's referring to sambhog prem. Sambhog means enjoying together, face to face, and so many pastimes. Julin, Jalgali, directly sakshat with Krishna, eye to eye. So, Sarvatma Snapanam, when our whole self is purified by the effect of non-sankirtan, then we will experience the smell, form, taste, touch, and sound of Krishna, or God, through our completely purified senses, mind, and intelligence. Just as the senses, mind, and intelligence are nourished by eating food, Similarly, all the senses become inundated by the rush of transcendental bliss by chanting the holy name of Krishna. The tongue is immersed in ecstatic rush because the word snapanam, snapanam not only means to bathe, sarvatma snapanam means to bathe or to cleanse the self, but the word snapanam, because bathing implies, the word snan actually means to immerse or to sink the body in a body of water, to sink the material body into water. Oftentimes people say, I went to Radhakund. Did you take snan? Yes, I took Achman snan. I say, really? Achman snan? Can you please explain to me what scripture that comes from? I never read in my life such a thing as Achman snan. It's like saying, I'm doing eating fasting. I'm doing eating fasting. Acha? Are you eating or are you fasting? I'm eating fasting. Achman is one thing, I don't know the analogy, but Achman is one thing and snan is another. Achman is something for purification. We take some water in our hand and we look at the water and then we chant mantra, and by a drishti we're supposed to invoke the form of that name of that, and we say Om Keshavaya Namah. We're supposed to with drishti look at the water, and Keshava is supposed to enter from our heart through our drishti into the water. Then we take it. This is Achman. This is a purification rite before one begins puja. This is not a bath. This is Achman. And we may show respect to Radhakund by putting a few drops on our any sacred water, put a few drops on our head, and we may take Achman of Radhakund to purify ourselves before doing puja, but there's no such thing as an Achman bath. Because everywhere it says Eva Snatur and Sakrit Snatur Eva Prima Vishkaroti, and Nectar of Instruction says Sakrit Snatur Eva Prima Vishkaroti. It says, Rupa Goswami is telling in Upadeshamrita, if one takes once a bath in Radhakund, snan, then prem avishkaroti, then gopi prem will come within him. So nowhere, anywhere in Shastras does it say, if one takes Achman snan in Radhakund. This is a very humorous thing. So this word snan means fully immerse, to immerse our body in water. So this acharya is taking this meaning, snapanam means immerse. So knowing that, the tongue is immersed, we say sarvatma snapanam, the tongue is immersed, snapanam, in ecstatic rush by chanting Hare Krishna, the ears by hearing name, and also the mind, intelligence, and self become immersed in an ocean of ecstatic rush by chanting the holy name. So sarvatma snapanam. Snapanam means we chant the holy name and our entire self becomes immersed. What is the self? The self is the senses, the self is the mind, intelligence. So then it's being broken down like this. That what the holy name will, our tongue will, which is our sense of taste or speech, our tongue will become snapanam, immersed in ecstatic rush by chanting. The ears will become immersed by hearing nam. And our mind, intelligence, and soul become immersed in an ocean of ecstatic rush by chanting the holy name. Rupa Goswami is also commenting on this phrase, sarvatma snapanam, when he wrote the verse in Vidagdha Madhav. When I chant Hare Krishna, I desire millions of tongues to chant and millions of ears to hear the nectar of the holy name. When the holy name dances in the courtyard of my heart, all my senses become inert, and I can't understand how much nectar is in the two syllables Krishna. So this is some commentary on this part of the first verse, sarvatma snapanam. So the phrase sarvatma snapanam refers to sambhog prem, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us. Now the last phrase, part of the verse, is Pramvijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Right? seventh treasure, which we mentioned, the seventh treasure is Sarvatma Snapanam. There are seven treasures that are hidden within the holy name of Krishna that are explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the first verse, Jeto Dharvana Marjana. But to analyze the complete verse, the last phrase of the verse is Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So this part of the verse we know very well, and we have our own idea what it means. But the Acharyas give us some very interesting illumination on this phrase, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, which we'll read a little bit. The general meaning of this phrase, let there be supreme victory for the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So let's take this first two words, Param Vijayate. Jayate means victory, and V means Vishesh, means special or complete victory. Bhaktivinoda Thakura is saying, Sri Krishna Sankirtan is decorated with seven transcendental treasures or qualities, which we have already explained. And Sankirtan is the embodiment of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, Satchit Ananda Sarup. May Sri Krishna Sankirtan be thoroughly victorious in revealing the astonishing amorous pastimes of Radha Govinda. So this is what Lord Chaitanya, this is the victory that Lord Chaitanya wants to establish in the kingdom of all of our hearts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is marching into our hearts with the holy name and his senapatis. His senapatis, his commanders, are leading the army, the Sankirtan army. We often use that phrase in relation to book distributors. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his group of senapatis, or commanders, and the army of Sankirtan are marching into our hearts, and they want to conquer our hearts. They want to conquer the kingdom of our hearts with the holy name of the Lord. And they want to completely conquer us. So that's Param Vijayate. That means complete victory. So he's saying here, may Sri Krishna Sankirtan be thoroughly victorious, because this will be the victory. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will consider that his fight, that his war on Maya, which he is waging on behalf of the spiritual master and our interest in the kingdom of our heart, we are engaged in a war on Maya. And that war will be considered successful if the pastimes of Radha and Krishna manifest in our hearts. So this is the meaning of Param Vijayate, that Sri Krishna Sankirtan is considered Vijayate. It's one thing if we chant Hare Krishna and we learn how to control our senses, the holy name Rishikesh. By submitting to the holy name, the holy name controls our senses. That's a type of victory. But the ultimate victory, or the Vijayate, the Param Vijayate, the ultimate victory will be that the Astakali Leela of Krishna will flow through our mind like the river Ganges, and we will swim in that river of pastimes in our spiritual form, engaged in a variety of loving services throughout the day and night. That is the Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And it goes on. Supreme victory, Param Vijayate, means many small battles must be won before attaining the topmost success, which I have alluded to. First, by constant chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the name marches into the heart. Then the name brings in Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, and associates, all manifesting within the kingdom of the heart. One will directly see all of these within the heart. At death, he will surrender his material body and obtain an eternal form to enter the pastimes of Krishna. So this is one meaning of the phrase Param Vijayate from Bhaktivinoda. When a real drop of Krishna consciousness enters into the heart, when a real drop of Krishna consciousness enters the heart, all opposing forces must leave as Krishna conquers and takes possession. a nice, because we're talking about vijayate, it's victory. Maharaj ki jai ho, we say, you know, from vijayate. So this Sankirtan movement, this is a battle. So this is the analogy. Lord Chaitanya is talking about victory. When talking about victory, it's viraharas, it's heroism, it's opposition. It means there's fighting, there's your opponent, there's opposition. You're fighting, they're fighting back. Attack and counterattack, attack and retaliation. So that's why the acharyas are stretching out or elaborating on these words and this concept of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're not imagining something or dreaming up some idea. They're taking the idea he's giving very specifically and exactly and embellishing it and clarifying it in a very beautiful way so we can enter into a deep understanding of Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So it's very nice that the name brings in Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes. Oh, excuse me. When a real drop of Krishna consciousness enters the heart, all opposing forces must leave as Krishna conquers and takes possession. So Krishna conquers means Krishna's name will conquer our heart and take possession of our heart, as the gopis are saying in the Rasa Panchadaya. They went to Krishna and Krishna said, you go home now. You must have babies by now. And your husbands must be worried about you. Why are you out here alone in the dark night of the forest? Dark night in the forest. And the gopi said, listen, you're Murli Manohar. You pull out this Murli, the sun goes down, the moon rises, and you pull out your secret weapon. No one sees this during the day. This is a nighttime. At night, the dacoits come out. The dacoits are moving around in the daytime also, but you don't see their weapons. But after dark, They take out their weapons, and sometimes they wear chudders. They wear a big gray chudder, and under the chudder they have a machine gun or something. They come to your door, hello, good morning. So Krishna pulls out his murli at night, and he plays a devastating love song that completely enters into the hearts of the gopis and captures their hearts and steals their hearts. Murli Manohar, his murli is 3 feet long, and it produces a very deep and melodic sound, which is very romantic and exotic and mystifying and captivating and hypnotic, and it captures her hearts, and then he steals her hearts and runs into the forest on the bank of the Yamuna, and they run out there and they say, listen, we've come and you're telling us to go back to our husbands and back to our houses, but our feet refuse to move a step from your lotus feet. You've stolen their hearts. How can we go back without our heart? We can't put our heart into our work. Sometimes employers, the boss tells the employee, you're working, but you're not putting your heart into it. Or you're practicing bhakti, but your heart is not there because your mind is elsewhere. So the gopis are saying, our feet refuse to move a step from your lotus feet. You've stolen our hearts and minds. How can we return to our households? What will we do there? How can one function without his mind? Can we function without our mind? No. You can't even control the body without the mind. What to speak of, there's some domestic activities. So, this is what's being said here. The gopis, they were conquered. They were conquered by Krishna's flute sound. So the holy, for us, Krishna's flute sound appears as a name. So it marches into the gates of our heart. It marches into our ears, which is like the boundary gates of the kingdom of the heart. And enters the heart and conquers the heart and takes possession. So what can we do then? Once Krishna's name takes possession of our heart, we have to surrender. We put up the white flag. I can't fight. I can't fight anymore, Krishna. You've conquered my heart. The kingdom of my heart has been conquered by the Sankirtan of Krishna's holy name, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. When a real drop of Krishna consciousness enters the heart, all opposing forces must leave as Krishna conquers and takes possession. There is a war within, and when the Krishna conception enters the heart of a devotee, then all other thoughts and ideas gradually have to retire. This is such beautiful phraseology by Nityalila Purishnom Sri Srimad Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's beloved godbrother. This is beautiful. So there is a war within, inside. Prabhupada, these very familiar terms. Everyone in ISKCON, we say, oh, Becoming a devotee means to declare a war against Maya. 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 That which is not. Right? The body. The soul is fighting the body. Right? Who is the opponent? The body. Who is the proponent? The soul. Who are the enemies? The senses. Gyanendriya, Karmendriya, Man, Buddhi, Hankara. The war is raging. It's raging all the time. Even when you sleep, the war goes on. At least in a war zone, that sometimes it's okay, the sun went down. In Mahabharata, when the sun went down, the war was over. And they played chess and they drank wine and they had a big party and Chopin Vogue and they enjoyed. They forgot about their enmity. And no arrows, no fighting, no agitation, no disturbance. It was party time. But when we take rest, does the war stop? Does the war stop at when the sun goes down and we take rest? It rages even more. the swapna yudya means the war in the mind, the war in the dream war. Right? So, at least in Mahabharata, they got some relief. They would fight to death. They cut each other's head off while the sun was shining. And once the sun set, then they would, hey, right, Duryodhana, right. Best of friends. And the next morning, off with the head. But this war against Maya is going on 24 hours a day. Puram Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. There is a war within, and when the Krishna conception enters the heart of a devotee, all other thoughts and ideas gradually have to retire. This is Puram Vijayate. Now if we take the word Vijayate, it means not only victory, but Jayate means victory. But Vijayate means complete victory. Total takeover. Total takeover. Kirtan will be victorious when it is performed with Sambandha Gyan. What is Sambandha Gyan? Sambandha Gyan means chanting the holy name with an understanding of one's relationship with Krishna. And at the same time following the mood of any of the eternal associates of Krishna, which corresponds to the desired mood of love which one cherishes in his heart, or at least would like to cherish in his heart. This chanting is powerful, and very soon Shuddha Nam will manifest on the tongue. So, well, what's the time now? I forgot my clock today. 4:40. So, Puram Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. There's three more words in this phrase, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say Puram Vijayate Krishna Sankirtan. They could say Krishna Sankirtan, which would be the glorification of the names of Krishna. Vishnu Sankirtan, Narayan Sankirtan. But such Sankirtan will take one to the Vaikuntha conception, will take one to the Paravyam, but it won't take one to Braja Gokul or Vrindavan. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya was very particular in the use of his description of the type of Sankirtan which he desires the living entities to perform in this age is Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Sri Krishna, Radha Krishna Sankirtan. To perform the chanting, because some people, they just chant Krishna Nam, they just chant the names of Krishna. Sri Krishna, what's an example? How do they say? Narayana, 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 Narayana. Narada Muni is chanting, right? And you see these Bhagavad Sapta Harivalas when they get to the sixth canto and describe the story of Ajamil, then they do these kirtans. Narayana, 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 Narayana. So, it's Narayan. Narayan. This is Vishnu Kirtan. Narayan Kirtan. But where is Lakshmi there? Lakshmi's not there. There's Shaktiman. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He's telling Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Sri, as we mentioned, represents Srimati Radharani. This, and only this Sankirtan is Vijayate, or can give a Param Vijayate. If we chant Narayan Nam, what will we get? We'll get the same file that Ajamil got. We'll go to Vaikuntha. But we won't, but this is not, this is Vijayate, this is victorious, it's certainly victorious, Punarjanmanavidyate, to not take another birth in this world by purifying one's existence by Vishnu Nam is certainly a victory. It's a great victory over birth and death. To not have to take another birth and death is certainly a glorious victory by chanting Narayan Nam or Vishnu Nam. But it's not the Param Vijayate, it's not the transcendental, supreme, topmost victory that one could attain. But by chanting Radha Krishna Nam or Sri Krishna Sankirtan, one can go across the entire Paravyam to the topmost planet of Braja Gokul. So this is the type of kirtan. This Kalotadhari Kirtanat. So it's Kalotadhari Kirtan. It's telling that this is the age, and the age of Kali is the time for kirtan. But what type of kirtan? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to specify the kirtan, because in all ages there is kirtan. Satyug, Dwapara, Tretyug, Dwapara Yug, there's always Vishnu Kirtan, Nam Kirtan. But Radha Krishna Kirtan? No. Only in the wake of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do we have Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And only this type of Sankirtan, the glorification of Radha and Krishna's names, can give us deliver us to the topmost planet in the spiritual world to engage in the eternal service of Radha Govinda Yuga. So that's very specific. Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. If we look at the word Sankirtan, Sankirtan comes from the sense that the Sankirtan. San means Sarva Bhavena. This Bhakti Siddhanta is breaking down. Sankirtan, Sarva Bhavena. This means, and Kirtan means, it means complete Kirtan, which is performed Sarva Bhavena, means full of Bhav, with all types of bhavas. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So our chanting of Radha Krishna's names, our chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Yuga Mantra, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, Sankirtan, that kirtan, that chanting must be done with Sarva Bhavena, with as much feeling, as much bhavas that we can muster up according to our level of devotional attainment. Of course, the Kanista Adhikari, there's no question of any transcendental bhavas. He may reflect some of the bhavas of those that he's in association with. In fact, it's even told in scriptures that if one is with Rasika Bhaktas, or very advanced devotees who are on the level of bhava, and chanting a Nam Sankirtan, there's such a rich sweetness in the vibration of their chanting that it enters into the heart even of a Kanishta, and some tears will come in his eyes. He will feel some alligator tears. A few little alligator tears will crawl out of, like an alligator crawling out of a river, and a few little alligator tears will crawl out of the corners of his eyes, and even he may feel a tingling sensation in his skin, or maybe a few hairs on the back of his thumb or something will rise up in the kirtan. And then because he's so kanishta, he's heard a little bit, or read a little bit, he'll think, wow, I must be in bhav. I must be experiencing sattvic bhavs, prema ashru. But actually all it is, it's a reflection. It's called bhava bhas. In the association of very advanced devotees, there may be some fleeting or momentary, momentary reflections of the bhava that's stirring and swirling and rising and falling in the heart of a pure devotee that one may do kirtan with. And so by association, by nearness, the color of their bhava may color your heart temporarily, like the crystal. But then in the absence of their association, again, become a mouse. Puna musika bhava. Not bhava, but bhava. So this is this is very interesting. This is Sankirtan. Oh, Prabhu, we're going out to do Sankirtan. Really? Actually, we're going out to go bum bum bing bing bum bum bing bing bum bum bing bing and vibrate some words. But Sankirtan means complete kirtan, which is san sarva sarva bhavena kirtanam. So Sankirtan, Sri Krishna Sankirtan is actually done. It's not really done. Someone's doing Sankirtan when they're a bhava bhakta, when they're a level of bhava or prema. And if you happen to tag along with them, then you can get some fortune. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, maybe in Nambhajan or somewhere, I don't recall, I've heard a number of times and read also that if there is a Sankirtan party that's going out onto the streets to perform congregational Sankirtan, and all those devotees are neophyte and Kanishta, they're all Kanishta Adhikaris, there would practically be very, very little effect. In fact, he's even saying that if in any given Sankirtan party, there must be at least one pure devotee. There may be 300 knuckleheads, American slang. There may be 300 neophytes or Kanishtas, doesn't matter. But at least one devotee who's chanting the vibration of the holy name should be a Shuddha Bhakta, at least be chanting Shuddha Nam. Not at least, but should be. And then that powerful sun of his heart will reflect on everyone else's heart, and joining together with the enthusiastic chanting and dancing and musical performance, they will make a very sweet and powerful prabhav or presentation of Harinam Sankirtan, which will have the takeover effect, which is the desirable result, the Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So devotees throughout their lives, sometimes they have the opportunity to go out on Sankirtan with such devotees, and they see the result. They experience the result themselves in chanting in such high association, and they also can perceive the result on the audience, on the innocent public, how when three bhaktas go out and go ching-chang-boom-boom, ching-chang-boom-boom, ching-ching-bang-boom-boom-boom, hari-bo-hari-bo, and everybody looks at them like, oh, you're weird, and they don't feel much, and the people don't feel much, and they come back and say, well, they tell the temple commander, we went out on Sankirtan. And temple commander says, really, you did sarva bhavanas kirtan? Your kirtan was full of bhav? And then the bhakta says, no, our kirtan was full of blah. Not bhav, but blah. It was like, well, we did it. But then another time, some big devotee, some charya, mahajan, guru, etc., whatever, he comes and he brings everyone into the kirtan party, and they go out on the streets, and everyone is feeling something extraordinary. And all the people, it seems the sun is shining in the middle of the night, and it's 10 o'clock at night, and everyone is smiling, everyone is dancing, the police are dancing, the bums are dancing, the prostitutes, everybody who's ever out there in the middle of the night, they're all dancing and chanting, and the devotees are coming back, and they're lying in bed, and they can't sleep the whole night, and they look forward to Mangalartik. That experience may have been a touch or a reflection, or maybe the full-blown experience of Sarva Bhavena Kirtanam. So this is some idea of what Sankirtan could be, should be, would be, hopefully will be, or maybe was. If you can follow my English. If you're trying to translate that, I say good luck. Please forgive me because I don't know anything what I'm saying. Just like Jesus told he prayed to the Father, oh my dear Father, please forgive them. Oh, they're jabbing me with spears and sticking me in the sides. Please forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So I have to echo or parody that phrase by saying, please forgive me, because I don't know what I'm saying. There's like zero sleep. You know, and it's Prabhupada's telling us in the Bhagavatam that intelligence is a function of sleep. So the insufficient sleep, at least for conditioned souls, there'll be insufficient evidence of proof of intelligence. So it's really, I don't know what's happening, but it's almost over, I suppose. Is it 5 o'clock? Is it 5 o'clock? Hmm? 5 minutes? So should I roll on? Or? Thank you. So this is the Sarva Bhavena Kirtanam, complete kirtan. San also means complete. The word san, just taking san without the sarva bhavena, it means complete. San kirtan means complete kirtan. This means kirtan which is performed in full knowledge of sambandha gyan and free from anarthas and aparads. So sankirtan. So then again you can understand the rarity of true sankirtan. Sankirtan, oh, we're going on a Sankirtan party. Now all the 10 members in the Sankirtan party are going to chant without namabhas. There'll be no anarthas. There's no anarthas, no aparads. So this is a very high definition of Sankirtan. Now, included in this concept of Sankirtan with complete sambandha gyan, or one's relationship with Krishna, as mentioned, including the qualification of freedom from anarthas and aparads, then that sankirtan is known as Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Because in some of the commentaries, they're telling that Lord Chaitanya, this word Param, refers Param Vijayate, it can mean Param Vijayate, Param, transcendental victory or supreme, topmost victory, and Param can also refer to Kirtan, so it's Param Kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya is saying that we should do, that Sankirtan means Param Kirtan. So if there's Param Kirtan, there must be Kirtan. So what's the difference between Param Kirtan and Kirtan? So this is what it's telling here. That Param Kirtan means transcendental Kirtan. When there is partial or imperfect chanting of the holy name of Krishna, the jivas will not get the full effect. In other words, what is the full effect of Sankirtan? The full effect of Sankirtan is that one will experience the seven gifts described in verse 1, the seven treasures or gifts which we describe in verse 1, Chaitadarpana Marjanam. So if we're doing just Kirtan or so-called Sankirtan, but it's not really Sankirtan, it's not Param Kirtan, then we're wondering, oh, we're chanting, we're doing Kirtan, but these seven treasures or gifts aren't coming to me. The cleansing of the self, the experiencing of ocean of bliss, the purification of mind and heart. So, as a result, many devotees develop doubts about the potency of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya is saying, let there be all victory. Let there be all victory for Param Sankirtan, which means the perfect and complete chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So if we perform Sankirtan properly, then there will be complete victory. And this is the type of Sankirtan that Lord Chaitanya is explaining. Tomorrow we'll continue with the reference, we'll continue more discussion about this Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And then begin verse 2 of Shikshastakam, Nam Namakari Bhavada Nijasara Shaktis. So by the mercy of Lord Gauranga and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we hope that we can meet together tomorrow and continue our discussion on Sri Bhajan Rahasya. Is there any quick questions or comments? No? Okay. Vancha Kapa Truvyascha, Kripa Sambhavi.
Are you going back?